And on the opposite side, my fellow St. Lucians, I must extend a very special salutation to the people of my constituency of Ancillary County, who have placed the honor upon me and which I have humbly received to represent them in this honorable house. Madam Speaker, it would be irresponsible of me not to put the record straight. The honorable member for Castries East made a statement with regards to crime. He said, Madam Speaker, that we were not able with this government to manage crime. But Madam Speaker, I was the Minister of National Security and Home Affairs from 2006 to 2007. And when I came, Madam Speaker, I found that the previous government was unable to manage crime. The previous government was hopeless in addressing the crime problem. For that reason, Madam Speaker, they brought in 12 super police from England. And when I came in, Madam Speaker, these policemen from England were all in one room with no direction. And they were at a point of frustration, wanting to return home. Madam Speaker, with the restructuring and the placement of these 12 policemen and our other policemen in our local force, we were able to reduce the crime rate by 34%, Madam Speaker. Statistics there to prove that. So, Madam Speaker, this government is quite capable of managing crime. But, Madam Speaker, we must be aware that crime is a difficult thing to manage worldwide, not only in St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, I want to go ahead with my presentation because time is limiting. As Minister of Health, Wellness, Family Affairs, National Mobilization, Human Services and Gender Relations, Madam Speaker, since my last budget presentation a year ago, I am pleased to inform St. Lucians, both here and abroad, that great strides have been made in the Ministry of Health towards improving the delivery of health care to St. Lucians. For this reason, Madam Speaker, our motto for 2010-2011 is one step up. We must step up in all aspects of health care, Madam Speaker. That is, in management, diagnostic capability, hospital care, delivery of care at the community level, financing, etc. To improve level of care, the level of care is expected to improve by all citizens of this country. If we are to improve economically and remain a tourist destination, we must improve the level of care. Like the saying goes, Madam Speaker, a healthy nation is a prosperous nation. Every St. Lucian wants to feel that when he or she enters our medical facilities for care, that he or she has a sound chance in life. When this government took the reins of power in the year 2006, Madam Speaker, you remember that previous government held, like many other disciplines in the health system and also in government, health was in a transition mode. Madam Speaker, in opposition now, they are still in a transition mode, awaiting elimination soon. We have shifted gears, Madam Speaker, now, and now we are in a delivery mode. Some of the profit policies that we have adopted is one, primary health care. Two, the delivery of 3 hospitals. Correction, almost 4, because we are doing software hospitals. The refurbishment of our wellness centers. Madam Speaker, in the year 2009-2010, we did this refurbishment at a cost of $2,071,400. Our budget for the year 2010-2011 is $1,653,673. Madam Speaker, we have developed centers of excellence in ophthalmology, nephrology, radiology to come, community health mental program, community nursing program, urology, and many others I will mention later. The Ministry of Health has made great strides working towards improving access to quality healthcare to all Saint Lucians. While there may be challenges, the health sector is moving along a path which will make healthcare universally accessible. Madam Speaker, what are our national vision for health? The national vision for health focuses on ensuring the right to every citizen of St. Lucia, the highest attainable level of healthcare, but also to generate and sustain growth in the health sector and other related sectors. This, Madam Speaker, will be achieved by providing environment geared towards the improvement of health and the achievement of wellness. Good health will enable all residents to make productive contributions towards the economy of this island. The Ministry of Health, Madam Speaker, faced the financial challenges during the fiscal year 2009-2010, but collaborated with international partners and organizations to undertake the programs necessary to achieve its policy objectives. Our actual local revenue collection in the Ministry of Health for 2009-2010 was 97% of the estimated target. During the financial year 2009-2010, the Ministry was actively involved in implementing the National Strategic Plan for Health as the bedrock for economic recovery through emphasis on improved infrastructure and quality of care for clients and major industries. As stated in the NAFO Declaration, health is wealth. What is our government's approach towards healthcare? This government has adopted the policy of primary healthcare. Primary healthcare, Madam Speaker, the approach of primary healthcare, Madam Speaker, is one that is guided by the principle of health for all. The model is based on the value of equity, solidarity, and ethics. It is a preventative measure, as the saying goes, prevention is better than cure. It is much more cost effective, especially in cases of small nations where finance is not plentiful. What are some of the measures that this government has put in place to maintain primary health care? Madam Speaker, 7 additional health centers or wellness centers were refurbished. In 2009, bringing the total wellness centers to about 17. These wellness centers, Madam Speaker, are now equipped for performing more advanced blood sugar tests, blood cholesterol tests, EKG machines for testing for heart problems, and Madam Speaker, we are about introducing machinery that will test urine. Madam Speaker, we are faced in this country with a high percentage of diabetes and hypertension. And as a result, Madam Speaker, there's a large percentage of kidney failure and amputation. What these tests at our wellness centers will do, Madam Speaker, it will give early notice to our doctors and patients that something is going wrong. Madam Speaker, what we find before was that patients would come to these wellness centers, they would be given a slip to have a blood test or a urine test. At the point in time, they are not feeling too bad. They would go home and figure to pay $90 or $100 for a blood test at this point, they can do something better with that money. And they would delay, and by the time they got back to the doctor, it is too late. Madam Speaker, the benefit of this early detection is this. If you detect kidney failure at an early stage, this patient can be given tablets. On tablets, his lifestyle is better. He too can be in the workforce and produce financing for his maintenance of his tablets and medication. also, Madam Speaker, he too, on dialysis, has a different lifestyle. It's a very, very unpleasant lifestyle at this point in time. And kidney dialysis is an end time. It's the end, it's the terminal part towards your kidney problem. And Madam Speaker, it is just to keep you alive for a certain period of time. Not only this, Madam Speaker, but it's very costly to the patient and to government. Madam Speaker, one of the measures we took was to introduce in 2009 the Health Practitioners Act. This act provides us with the mechanism to introduce that the mechanism to ensure that all medical and allied health practitioners are up to date with the last recommendation for managing and treating patients. There is also a compulsory continuing education aspect to this act, Madam Speaker. And this allows the practitioners and the professionals to be up to date. Also, as a result of this, Madam Speaker, it will give them the latest techniques and the latest information on illnesses around universally. Through this primary healthcare system, we were able to successfully manage the first global influenza pandemic of our time, the H1N1. Note, Madam Speaker, St. Lucia had one death as a result of H1N1, compared to St. Kitts with two, Barbados with three, and Jamaica with seven. Madam Speaker, we have improved our diagnostic capability in early detection of cervical cancer by the donation of a loop electrosurgical excision machine at the Glossary Polyclinic. Madam Speaker, cervical cancer and breast cancer is one of the problems that we have in Tamusha with our women. And Madam Speaker, cervical cancer is one of the few cancers that are curable, but if detected early. Like breast cancer, Madam Speaker, if detected early, the patient has a better chance of survival and the spread of the cancer. No longer can we conduct health planning in isolation of other disciplines. This is why this administration is taking a holistic approach to health. We're involving such disciplines as social transformation. Madam Speaker, sometimes poverty, poor social situation is a catalyst to poor health. You find, Madam Speaker, universally, that you find in the poorer areas, you have more health problems. Education, because of the policy of primary health care, we must educate our people ways of preventing illnesses, ways of combating the consumption of poor food, and we must involve and engage our Ministry of Agriculture in teaching our farmers to grow good, what we call good food, and to encourage our citizens to eat proper and exercise properly. We must be mindful, Madam Speaker, in our planning. The demographics of our population show a young population coexisting with a growing elderly population. Epidemiological profiles show that we are living longer. But Madam Speaker, are we living healthier lives? Data for the period 1995 to 2005 reveal the threat posed by the communicable and non-communicable diseases, by dental diseases, by diseases of the eye. Madam Speaker, as I said before, these non-communicable diseases, the side effects like diabetes, these are deadly diseases, Madam Speaker. I remember a professor saying that if you have an enemy, do not wish him diabetes. Because, Madam Speaker, diabetes affects every single organ of the body. It affects your heart. It affects your kidneys. It affects your liver. It affects your spleen. It affects your muscles. It affects your eyes. Madam Speaker, we too in St. Lucia are faced with the problem of glaucoma. Statistics show that we have a very high rate of glaucoma compared to the rest of the world. And Madam Speaker, you know glaucoma unattended causes blindness. And Madam Speaker, if you don't detect glaucoma early, whatever vision that you've lost can never be regained. Madam Speaker, as a government, it is our responsibility to make sure we are on top of these problems. Child mortality has decreased, but the rate of infant mortality has increased. We have to find the reason for this, Madam Speaker. Life expectancy for men in St. Lucia have increased from 68 years to 71 years, with women from 71 years to 77 years. Madam Speaker, how have we improved our public health system? Without a proper and sound public health system, Madam Speaker, our primary health system will fail. But this government, Madam Speaker, has paid attention to public health. And some of the ways that we have improved our public health system is by refurbishing our wellness centers, by providing training. The government has provided added funding in 2009 to 2010 towards the amount of $398,373. And that is funds to increase staff training, and that is besides the funds received from the Global Fund. Madam Speaker, we are faced with the problem of HIV/AIDS. Since the Global Fund will be expired in June of this year, 2010, government had to step up its funds in order to maintain the gains achieved previously in this program. The amount required for 2010-2011 is $2,671,376.46. Madam Speaker, we had to improve our dental services. Our contribution for 2010-2011 to increase the provision of dental services, the procurement of dental equipment in oral health promotion and education is approximately $186,250. Madam Speaker, we also had to improve on our attention towards dengue. And we have a prevention project, Madam Speaker. This project is important in preventing the spread of communicable diseases. We will be funding the procurement of a vehicle. Madam Speaker, we need a vehicle in this department because we need to go to the areas where these mosquitoes are breeding to fog and to treat these areas. We need to improve on our supplies, the material and equipment. We need to, as I said before, Madam Speaker, our public awareness of dengue. We need to improve the training within our ministry. The treatment to date, Madam Speaker, for the mosquitoes causing the problem has to be year-round, unlike before. Because, Madam Speaker, you know, we have the rain when we're expecting sun. We have sun when we're expecting rain. Our seasons are shifting. So we are talking about climate change here, Madam Speaker. And we as a government are aware of climate change and we are addressing the problem. And this is why, Madam Speaker, the dengue problem is a year-round problem now. We are also going further, Madam Speaker. We are introducing 100% weekly reporting to the epidemiological unit on syndrome surveillance by all 9 regions maintained. What we have done, Madam Speaker, we've divided the island into 9 regions. And we are taking samples and monitoring these regions to tell us how these mosquitoes are behaving. Madam Speaker, to obtain this, we had to change certain policies and guidelines over the last 3 years. Some of these, Madam Speaker, were in the light of health facilities and initiatives have been undertaken in support of health improvement, all in keeping with our strategic plan for health. My ministry's commitment focuses on primary health care, enabling us to review our policies and implementation procedures and to establish guidelines and protocols to govern the standard of care provided to our patients. Some of the things we had to do, Madam Speaker, is change legislation in certain areas. For example, number one, the Waste Management Act, which makes provision for the prevention, management and control of waste. Two, the enactment of the Health Practitioners Act of April 2009. Three, new legislation was created for the development and delivery of mental health care services. And four, manuals and guidelines were developed for a range of programs. For example, the manual for maternal and child care, the manual for food-based dieting material, the manual for maintaining our health facilities, the manual for the operation of the transit home for children and the management of child abuse and neglect, the completion of a pesticide manual, the establishment of a computerized database system for recovering and analyzing epidemiological data. Certain policies too, Madam Speaker, had to be developed. New policies for the Human Services Department for occupational health safety had to be developed, Madam Speaker. We had to develop a drug procurement and distribution policy, Madam Speaker. We had to develop mental health and health promotion policies, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, also we had to develop a policy of hiring doctors at our wellness centers for full time. Madam Speaker, when I say full time, I want to make it very clear that prior to this, Madam Speaker, the doctors would enter in these wellness or health centers on a 4-hour or 5-hour contract. What happened, Madam Speaker, is this. We found that the people that they served had no confidence in the type of visit that they received. They had no confidence in the medication, the prescriptions given by these doctors. And what happened in the evening time, Madam Speaker, they crowded the Victoria Hospital and taking the time that the Victoria Hospital should have spent on emergencies, spending on things that should have been done at the health center. So what we are at the primary care level, what we did, Madam Speaker, is give them full-time 8 hours to spend wherever necessary at these wellness centers. And Madam Speaker, in my constituency, some of these doctors, we told them if at this point they can't see all the patients or they don't have enough patients, their responsibility is go to the home and see the patients that cannot come to these health centers, these wellness centers, and serve them. But Madam Speaker, in my constituency, cases were reported to me where even before we had this full-time 8 hours at the clinic, we have some doctors going to the home and charging these people $60 for visits at the government, on the government time. Madam Speaker, I recall one of the doctors, after they were complaining, they wanted more money. They said that they don't have enough time to see the patient. We gave them that privilege of 8 hours. Madam Speaker, one individual doctor I know of, with a group of 17, came back to me in my office saying that, Dr. Mondesi, we can see these people up to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and they want to return to their office. Madam Speaker, I sent that very leader, go and do an assessment for the people that you serve and see whether they are satisfied with the service that you're asking me to let you go to your office earlier than you should. I have not seen him then, Madam Speaker, but he's on another platform now, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, what have we done to improve our human resource? Madam Speaker, it's important that you have good human resource. You have good doctors. You have good administrators. You have good management. And what we've done, Madam Speaker, as a government, recognizing the responsibility that we bear for our people, recognizing that management of limited funds is important, Madam Speaker, not wasting funds, Madam Speaker, what we have done, we have seek help outside. Because I'm one, Madam Speaker, that believes that if we don't have it, because God did not give us all the riches in terms of oil and other things around, Madam Speaker, we have friendly nations around that will help us. Madam Speaker, I went out to Paho, and Paho has helped us in developing our human resource at all levels in the Ministry of Health. Madam Speaker, you remember, I went to the Supre Hospital, Madam Speaker. For 8 or more years, Madam Speaker, this hospital was operating at a cost to government and the taxpayers of this country, a cost per patient higher than a 5-star hotel, Madam Speaker. When we went in there with Carmo, Madam Speaker, and there you had a representative, Madam Speaker, in Supre that never looked at this hospital, Madam Speaker. We had two cooks, Madam Speaker, at this hospital, never cooked a bottle of water or a cup of water for the whole day, but was drawing a salary. When I walked into this hospital, Madam Speaker, one of the cooks was on holiday. Madam Speaker, we had a lab technician not even pulling a pint of blood, just doing no tests. We had a physiotherapist, Madam Speaker. Most of all, Madam Speaker, we had midwives not delivering babies at this hospital, but seeing patients until 4 or 5 days before deliverance. After they were delivered in St. Jude or Castries or otherwise, they came back to the hospital for care. Madam Speaker, we have threatened this out. We have threatened this out, Madam Speaker, and with the help, Madam Speaker, my Prime Minister allowed $450,000 to repair this hospital. What I did, Madam Speaker, I said we're not repairing. Because I realized, Madam Speaker, from previous ministries, that these monies went with very little to be given back to the people of the nation. I engaged, Madam Speaker, Tango, and I engaged the Taiwanese people that designed hospitals. And I said, I have this amount of money. I want to improve the Supra hospital. Give me a design. We went there. We have a design, Madam Speaker, and we're in completion, Madam Speaker. I also seek the kind of care because, Madam Speaker, Supra is the mecca of tourism. The number of people that come to Supra, Madam Speaker, we need a stable and we need a well-established healthcare system in there. So Tahoe, through Tahoe, Madam Speaker, they are looking for donations for us to furnish all the various health sectors that we're going to be delivering at this hospital, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we went to Cuba, Madam Speaker, and I have to say, Madam Speaker, we will have a shortage of nurses. Madam Speaker, there's a serious shortage of nurses in St. Lucia. Lots of our retired nurses are at the community level. Over 60% of the nurses in the community are retired nurses. Through the last administration, about 185 nurses were sent to Cuba for training. But when we got there, Madam Speaker, with the haste, Madam Speaker, the irresponsibleness of this last administration, no background, no homework done. These young people were in Cuba not knowing what nurse they would be, whether it be nurse assistants or nurses. And Madam Speaker, universally today, even Mexico, where people once upon a time could walk off the street, go into a hospital and do what nurses are doing and being paid. Even them, today, if you don't have a Bachelor of Science in nursing, you cannot enter the hospitals in Mexico today. So, Madam Speaker, when we got there, we found that these nurses are just going to be nurse assistants. And the program in Cuba, to give them the education so that they could come back to St. Lucia and write the national examination, which is an OECS examination. Madam Speaker, I want the people to understand clearly. You can have a degree in nursing, but if you don't have the professional license, you cannot practice nursing, whether it's St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Grenada. But what we have done, Madam Speaker, as a responsible government, I went into discussion with the Minister of Health in Cuba, and we extended the science of education to 5 years. By this time, they will have the necessary tools to come back to St. Lucia and write this national examination, which will give them a chance to practice in whatever country in the OECS without writing a further exam. Madam Speaker, also, early during the year, the Prime Minister and myself, we went to Cuba, and Madam Speaker, it has been my concern that we have a number of both young and elderly people with what we call diabetic ulcers, with sores that cannot cure. And this is a hindrance to the lives of these people. And Madam Speaker, we found that in Cuba, they invented a medication and treated people, and the results were very promising. So the Prime Minister and myself, we have organized, Madam Speaker, we have organized a professional team to come from Cuba, to come to St. Lucia in the near future, to teach our people how to treat and see what kind of results we can get from this treatment and relieve so many of our people that are suffering from this problem. Madam Speaker, we also look to see what the Cubans can help us in developing our specialists. And Madam Speaker, they have promised that they would help in whatever way they can. Madam Speaker, we went to Mexico and did the same thing in Mexico. And the Mexicans were prepared to train and to reinforce our human resources in all aspects of health. We are now negotiating with them as to how to do it, whether they will come, they are prepared to come to St. Lucia, or we send people back to Mexico. Madam Speaker, you know we have a center of excellence of ophthalmology. This is manned by 16 Cubans. and Madam Speaker, in that unit, a blood test is done to tell the patient if they're diabetic. Madam Speaker, it's very important, and you must understand, the people of Central must understand the damage and the problems of diabetes. Because, Madam Speaker, in diabetes, what happens to the back of the eye? The diabetes fools the blood vessels at the back of the eye, telling the body that you don't have enough blood supply. The body goes out and produces vessels at the back of the eye. And fools them, you call that neovascularization, false vessels. And what happened, Madam Speaker, the more false vessels you have behind the eyes, when these vessels burst at the back of the eye, they cause traction and they cause retinal detachment. Madam Speaker, this government, with the care we have for our people, we engaged the Cubans and told them, listen, we do not have a retinal specialist in Pomusha. We do not have a retinal specialist in St. Vincent. We do not have a retinal specialist in Grenada. We do not have a retinal specialist in Dominica, in St. Kitts region, in Antigua, in Bermuda, in Montserrat, in Anguilla. So we said to them, we want to be the center of excellence. And we negotiated with them, Madam Speaker, Cuba too has a problem with that kind of specialist. There's a shortage. But they have promised that they will send one of their specialists in that area on a frequent basis. So what we are doing right now, Madam Speaker, we are collecting all the names of people with retinal problems or problems to the back of the eye. We have instructed the private doctors, the eye doctors, in practice, to take these names. We will have a number of names. We bring the doctor in, and they will treat those people, Madam Speaker. These are the kind of things that we talk about. This is the kind of progress that we talk about. Madam Speaker, I also had a trip to Taiwan. And before I left, Madam Speaker, I engaged in Jude Hospital and took a package and united St. Jude Hospital, sistering them with the Christian Hospital of Taiwan. This is offering them training for their people in St. Jude, and this is vice versa. Madam Speaker, I want to thank Dalhousie University of Nova Scotia, Canada, for they were very helpful and still is in helping us develop our human resource for our mental wellness center we have to do. What we did, Madam Speaker, we did not wait until the complex was completed. We started training our people before. So now that the center is completed, Madam Speaker, we have well-trained people serving the mental cases that we have in Pomusha. Madam Speaker, within the Ministry of Health, how have we improved our services and care? Madam Speaker, we have continued to provide primary health care at the Grosvenor Polyclinic on Saturday morning. We are providing the health care, the eye care at the Victoria Hospital, Madam Speaker. Our response to the treatment of patients with diabetes and hypertension by providing better integrated management and monitoring services. We expanded this service for diabetes and hypertension, Madam Speaker, as you heard the Prime Minister in his budget speech. We have extended the service to the Bexar and the Richford Wellness Centers. During the pilot project of May 2006 to February 2009, Madam Speaker, 14,041 patients were treated for diabetes and hypertension at a cost of $1.6 million to this administration, indicating that 9% of our population was treated. Madam Speaker, screening poll campaigns and health education programs have been conducted at hotels, at private and public places, and we have established a communicable and non-communicable commission. The implementation of primary-based mental health programs is on and running. This level of care, Madam Speaker, involves the community in which the patients live, their family, our health professionals in this area of health care, and we have increased our commitment in this area from 5 areas to 8 areas in terms of teams treating mental health patients. And Madam Speaker, it's at the top. What we have done, we have taken the island and divided it into small quadrants. and we have previously 5 quadrants, now we have 8 quadrants. We have undertaken the training of policemen and primary health care workers. Madam Speaker, this is an area where police and certain people in the community do not know how to treat and want to how to recognize mental problems. We have done this, Madam Speaker. We have had a counseling service for our community program. Madam Speaker, we have introduced services to children and adolescents. Madam Speaker, if you go now to our mental wellness center, you will see we have people of all ages, young adolescents, of all ages. And we are blessed, Madam Speaker, with the commissioning of the National Mental Wellness Center. And the training in this center, Madam Speaker, is ongoing. We have improved, Madam Speaker, our surveillance system at our ports of entry by providing better data collection, better analysis of the data, better reporting. As a result, we are better able to meet the international health regulation. This is very important, Madam Speaker. We have revisited and amended national legislation and make better our administration, our protocols, our procedures. This makes better protection for our residents and our visitors alike. Madam Speaker, due to the treatment provided and clinics available and educational material exposed to the public, we have been seen to have a slight reduction in the number of HIV cases. Since 1985, Madam Speaker, 758 cases have been reported. Madam Speaker, to help our public health system, we had to develop what we call a national health information system. The people, the taxpayers of St. Lucia, have spent over $1 million in developing that. This has brought us into the 21st century in terms of recording and monitoring. We have developed 9 modules, 5 is in operation. We have 5 centers where this is operating. One of us, we have lost one of them from the St. Jude Hospital. And we expect by June, July, that the 9 modules will be in the operation, and we'll have 11 centers operation, Madam Speaker. Our physical development, Madam Speaker, towards our primary health care, we have 42 health centers in St. Lucia, 1 major hospital, Victoria Hospital in the north, St. Jude's in the south, Soufre on the west, Denry on the east coast, and a polyclinic at Rose Lake. Madam Speaker, I want to speak a little bit about our mental wellness center. This has been completed. It is an operation, Madam Speaker. It was funded by the Republic of China and the Republic of China on Taiwan. Madam Speaker, we have to be grateful. We have to be grateful to the Taiwanese because, Madam Speaker, they had to redesign and remodel the interior. And as you know, Madam Speaker, if you did a visit up there today, you will see that we have a state-of-the-art, a state-of-the-art, the envy of the Caribbean, Madam Speaker. What we have to maintain, Madam Speaker, is the level of care and service and the maintenance of this institution, Madam Speaker. We have gone through, Madam Speaker, a general hospital that's in construction, a gift from the European Union at a cost of 37.7 million euros or $136.6 million. Madam Speaker, as we speak, this is one of the largest projects in St. Lucia at the moment. And Madam Speaker, we are hoping for completion within 33 months. If you look, if anyone goes up to the Millennium Highway, they will see all these cranes. We are about 25% in completion as we speak, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we have also developed a transit home for children in need of care and protection at a cost of $1.31 million in Kakaba. We are now staffing this institution. The Uptown Girls Center, Madam Speaker. This year, for 2010-2011, there is an allocation of $1 million, Madam Speaker, to purchase a residence for these quarters. Because as you know, Madam Speaker, the Uptown Gardens Girls is like an outpatient area where the children come in the morning and go back to the house in the evening. Now, Madam Speaker, we are finding that they attend them sometimes and not that well. So if we have them living on quarters, we have more control and better understanding of their needs. This is what this government is all about, Madam Speaker. At the Victoria Hospital, Madam Speaker, we have completed the pediatric ward, the pharmacy department, ward 6, The creation of an I unit there, Madam Speaker, as I spoke about previously. The painting of the exterior of the building, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I've been around for about 8 years, Madam Speaker, and every time I came to Victoria Hospital, I was ashamed. But Madam Speaker, when I walk there today, the exterior is painted. Because Madam Speaker, atmosphere is part of wellness. And Madam Speaker, we painted even the gates coming into Victoria Hospital, the walkways coming in there. Because Madam Speaker, this government understands that we have to move to a new location in 3 years. But in 3 years, Madam Speaker, there's still people getting sick, there's still people working at this institution. And Madam Speaker, we will improve further. We have improved the laboratory capability with a gift from Taiwan and from this local government. Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, one of the things that I was assured of by our Prime Minister is that, Madam Speaker, we need to improve the diagnostic capability of all our health services. All, Madam Speaker. With proper diagnosis, early detection, we can save lives and save costs. And Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister has given me that privilege. We need a CT scan at the Victoria Hospital, that we will look into a company that will rent to buy. What you do, Madam Speaker, this is how most of the doctors in America, Canada, and Europe, you go to a company, they would put a lease to buy, a deal of a lease to buy. So what, when you pay in every month, you pay into it buying. At the end of the lease, you pay $1 and the equipment is yours. This is the way we'll have to start refurbishing some of the equipment that we need at our various institutions, Madam Speaker. This is very promising. Madam Speaker, we have a problem with dialysis. When I took this ministry, Madam Speaker, it was a big problem. But I'll let you know what this government has done over the last 3 years. Madam Speaker, we have improved the number of machines at Victoria Hospital, thereby increasing the number of patients. We were just about, the very week that the St. Jude's Hospital got burned, we were just about renovating an area in St. Jude's to put 4 machines at St. Jude's. And these machines, we are still negotiating with the people of St. Jude's as to where to put them. Because, Madam Speaker, 45 to 50% of the people on dialysis come from the south. And as you know, when you're on dialysis, after you get the treatment, Madam Speaker, your body feels mashed up, very weak. Madam Speaker, and to travel to Castries and back, we recognize the difficulties, and we will eliminate that. Because as they finish one recovering, they have to go to another treatment. So, Madam Speaker, I have the privilege and the pleasure to announce to the people of St. Lucia that we are now in the process of putting a center of excellence in nephrology at the polyclinic in Rosalie, with the help of the offshore school at Rosalie, at a cost of $1.2 million. There again, 4 more machines will be put at the polyclinic for dialysis services, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, St. Jude's Hospital. I know it's a concern to my ministry, I know it's a concern to my Prime Minister, and I know it's a concern to all the citizens of St. Lucia, especially the people in the south. But Madam Speaker, progress is on its way. What we have done, Madam Speaker, is that we have been looking at all areas, because, Madam Speaker, you don't just plan for the present when you undertake such projects, Madam Speaker. You plan for the future. And the future plan and the vision of this government is to make the South a medical center, not only serving St. Lucia, but serving people beyond St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, we want to make it an education center for medicine. And, Madam Speaker, this requires planning. And today, Madam Speaker, we have relocated the area where we're going to put this hospital from the old location, because, Madam Speaker, the old location had a limitation. The old location is 8-point-something acres in area. Also, there are many squatters on the land. And also, it does not encompass the vision and the development of the South. So, Madam Speaker, what are we going to do to alleviate the need and the demand from the people in Scott on our government is that, Madam Speaker, we are going to build the wing that was destroyed by the fire, the surgical wing, And this is, in building this, is going to encompass all the beds that presently we are using at the stadium. And it is going to be used, and we are still going to continue shortly with the development and the building of the new hospital, but we are going to use whatever we build on the old site for other uses. Madam Speaker, I spoke about Sufre Hospital already, the Denry Hospital. We have a budget of $425,236 for renovation. At the moment, Madam Speaker, we are renovating the Babono Health Center. Also, we are renovating the Beaufort Health Center. Madam Speaker, I heard on the radio program that people were thinking that we are renovating the Beaufort Health Center because we want to convert St. Jude into a polyclinic. Madam, this is far from the truth, Madam, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is far from the truth. Why we had to do this, Madam, Mr. Speaker? It's because the World Bank had given funds, and this government was trying to use the funds to develop a center in Denry, because we felt that if you had an accident between Castries and Beaufort, the closest place to stabilize that person that was injured was Denry. But we were not able, because the cost to do a facility in Denry to satisfy our needs, we were not able to do that. So we had this obligation to complete the renovations of the health center in Beaufort, because, Mr. Speaker, if we did not do it by June of 2010, the money has to be returned to the World Bank. And Madam, Mr. Speaker, I am one that believes that money sent from different organizations to help a poor country like St. Lucia, we have no business returning that money, because there's a lot we can do with this money in St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, we are developing a senior citizen's home at a cost of $5.28 million, which will be delivered to us in June. Mr. Speaker, let me speak a little bit about universal health care. Mr. Speaker, universal health care is an ongoing thing. Its purpose is to achieve greater equity, cost effectiveness, and efficiency in the location and use of health resources. Madam, Mr. Speaker, you know resources are limited in this poor little country. So what we are doing now, Mr. Speaker, we are looking at funding, how we're going to fund this program. We are looking at pricing the various health modules. We are looking at legislation that will guide it. We have to confirm the basket of services that will be offered, prepare service level agreements, etc. Mr. Speaker, preliminary assessments show that we are 2.6 to 2.8% of our GDP is spent on our health care. And it is said that the minimum required for proper universal health care is approximately 6% of our GDP. I want to touch a little bit on this other aspect of my ministry, Mr. Speaker. I want to touch on the Division of Human Services and Gender Relations. The Division of Human Services and Gender Relations within the Ministry of Health is the main government agency with the responsibility for protection of children from all forms of abuse and neglect. The government has purchased, as I said before, a home in Castabar at $1.3 million. Acquiring this transit home is a part of a three-pronged approach to ensuring the well-being and the protection of children in St. Lucia. The first approach, Mr. Speaker, is that children at risk will be provided a place of safety. Parents have a duty, Mr. Speaker, and responsibility to adopt care, control, and supervision of their children. In this regard, Mr. Speaker, the second approach involves the provision of presenting programs and services to improve the parental capacity and guidance, Mr. Speaker. This will reduce the risk of further abuse and enable the reunion of children with their families of origin. Mr. Speaker, should parents fail to take responsibility for their children, the third approach will be utilized, that is, seeking alternative replacement for children through a foster and adoption program. This transit home, Mr. Speaker, has created catering for 21 children of ages 0 to 18. The home operates, Mr. Speaker, on a planned referral basis, preparing children to move to permanent placement within 1 year. The objective of this home, Mr. Speaker, is to avoid abuse, neglect, and care that these children need during the time of abuse. Mr. Speaker, I want to touch a little bit on our public assistance program. When this government took reins in 2006, Mr. Speaker, the public assistance to a person, one person, was $85 under the previous administration. Today, it's $135. For two persons, it was $125. Today, it's $180. For three persons, it was $165. Today, it is $220. For four persons, it was $220. Today, it is $250. For five persons or more, it was $250. Today, it is $300. And Mr. Speaker, in addition to this, the assistance offered for burial assistance for these people, purchasing of spectacle glasses, medical exemption, disaster and fire relief. Mr. Speaker, this is a government, and as you have observed and listened to the Prime Minister in his budget speech, that we are hoping to increase this again by 25%. We will increase it, the Prime Minister has corrected me. We will increase this by 25% as of October 2010. Mr. Speaker, this is a government for the Malawi. This is the government for the Malawi, Madam Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, prior to that, the previous administration saw no need to improve the lives of these people. Also, Madam Mr. Speaker, you have to understand when people make fake sense of government for the Malawi. The people of St. Lucia are not stupid. They can see results. In the field of agriculture, we have assisted our farmers because our farmers, this last administration, did not understand that our farmers are poor farmers. Our farmers cultivate small lots. They need some assistance. And Madam, Mr. Speaker, we have given that. We have reached out. So this is the government, not the previous administration or the Labour Party, claims to be the government of the Malawi. They never moved the Malawi one step further. We are moving them over and over. And in these hard times, Mr. Speaker, in these hard times, Mr. Speaker, we are improving these people. We have not neglected these people. We have observed their needs, Mr. Speaker. We have not neglected them. We are increasing their assistance by 25% as of October 2010. This is performance. This is performance, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I want to talk a little bit of, because, Mr. Speaker, you tell me how much time I have left.
You have 15 more minutes.
I want to list some new initiatives that this government has for the healthcare system in St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, for 2010-2011, some of the new initiatives. One, we are strengthening of chronic non-communicable disease management. Two, we are having a pharmacy orientation program that all pharmacists on island sing from the same hymn book. Our accelerated health plan strengthening strategy is in motion. Our international health regulation implementation is in motion. We are mainstreaming the HIV/AIDS program. We are establishing a preventative maintenance program. Mr. Speaker, the Ministry of Health owns, and the government and the people of St. Lucia owns a lot of real estate. But what we have found in the past, that the maintenance was not satisfactory. We have recognized that, and we believe that we'll do a better job in maintaining our hospitals, our wellness centers, and all the real estate that the Ministry of Health owns. Especially, Madam Mr. Speaker, we are going to be with three new hospitals in the near future. And all of these, Madam Mr. Speaker, all of these require proper maintenance for them to last the time that they should last. We're ensuring a cadre of well-trained and motivated staff. Mr. Speaker, this is important in any organization. And this is why this government has chosen the route of growing energy, finding external help to help train, build the morale of our workers in the Ministry of Health, give them the vision that one day they can move ahead. Because, Mr. Speaker, if your staff is not motivated, your staff is not productive, it is at a great cost to you. And any businessman would know that. Mr. Speaker, we are also providing public health response to international threats. We in St. Lucia, and this government has to be proud of the manner in which we handle the H1N1 virus, because we did a very good job for being inexperienced in such matters. Mr. Speaker, we are improving our infrastructure. As you know, hospitals, new hospitals are being built, health centers have been renovated. We are improving also. We are aware that not only putting equipment in the various health institutions, but also maintaining the equipment, because when this equipment is working properly, the result will be good and proper. Mr. Speaker, I want to let the people of St. Lucia know that this government and me as minister is conscious of the health problems that we have. We want to let them know that health is a very costly thing, and they have to take the responsibility for their health, not only government. We want to let them know that we are putting all the structures in place to provide them with a service, a quality of care second to none. I am of the belief, Mr. Speaker, that a heart attack in St. Lucia and a heart attack in Canada require the same medical care and the same medication. And this is why we, in the Ministry of Health, if we can't afford it, we look for help. Mr. Speaker, I want you to know that this government is not what we took in transition. We will not be in transition. We will be on the go, because the people of St. Lucia do not want this government to be nimble. We must do something. And health, as I said, Mr. Speaker, health is one of the disciplines that you have to act and act on quickly, because every minute that you neglect, it's the costing of a life. Mr. Speaker, I want the people of this country to know that we are doing our best with a little bit of patience, because we want them to know that we would like to offer them a healthcare system second to none in the region. Mr. Speaker, I would like to go and explain a little bit about why I'm here and who brought me here and what I have done for the people that put me here. Mr. Speaker, with your permission, I would like to make mention of the following achievements of certain people in my constituency. You remember last year, a student named Kester Charlemagne from the Millet Primary School won the Caribbean Young Inventors and Innovators Competition in Trinidad, which was awarded by the Organization of American States and the National Institute of Higher Education, Research, Science and Technology of 2008-2009. This school, Mr. Speaker, has continued that trend. And again, hailing from that school is Tricia Augustine and a team who excelled by placing first in the most innovative national primary school science competition. What they did, Mr. Speaker, they invented a washing machine, which they called an exo-bicycle. It's like a bicycle that you pedal, so while you're pedaling, you're washing. And that, the intent of this is that because of the problems that we have with diabetes, obesity, hypertension, they felt that even without electricity, you can have your exercise, wash your clothes at a minimal cost. They want that. I must say congratulations to the Miller Primary School. Mr. because my constituency have given me that privilege, and with honor I serve them. The development of my constituency is focused along the following areas: agriculture, infrastructural development, fishing, tourism, light industry, and education. Mr. Speaker, when I first took office,
honorable member, you have 5 more minutes in which to complete your contribution.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to invoke Standing Order 4210 to allow the minister 15 more minutes to complete his presentation.
Honorable member, the question is that the minister be allowed an additional 15 more minutes in which to complete his contribution. As many of that opinion say aye, as many are of a contrary opinion say no. The ayes have it, the ayes have it. Honorable member, you have 15 more minutes.
Mr. Speaker, it is almost impossible with 20 more minutes for me to outline the progress and the development that I have had in my constituency. It will take me almost a day. But I will have to make time do as you have permitted me. As I was saying, Mr. Speaker, when I took the reins in terms of representation for this constituency, in this constituency, Mr. Speaker, this is the only constituency in St. Lucia that does not have a secondary school. And the children in my constituency have to go the furthest and the most expensive to get secondary education. I hope, Mr. Speaker, and I'm appealing to the Minister of Education and my Prime Minister, that in the new initiative for developing schools, that they will consider a high school in my constituency. Mr. Speaker, I have the location, I have the land ready. We are ready to go in the constituency. I hope they will this will be accomplished. When I took representation, I thought education. Mr. Speaker, we have the poorest area in St. Lucia. And Mr. Speaker, when poverty denies one the chance to use their education, they become rebellious. And this is the beginning of crime. And Mr. Speaker, I embarked on the Taiwanese government again. And I established a computer center, state of the art, you've seen it on television, in Canneries at the Canneries Infant School. In Anseray, at the Anseray Primary School. In Millet, at the Millet Primary School. And we have one in Waden to be completed. Because I believe, as Sir Arthur Lewis says, that education will take you out of poverty. And in my constituency, every single child going to school have access to a computer. What we do in the evening time with these computers, we set up programs, Mr. Speaker, that the adults who wish to learn about computers will go to these centers and learn about computers. Because, Mr. Speaker, even when you go to Julian, the cash register is computerized. We are sensitive to education. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to run quickly. When we went to Roseau, the people were deprived of facilities, toilet facilities. For years, Mr. Speaker, we have established a new facility in Roseau in excess of $400,000 to $500,000, the pride of the people of Roseau. We have established in Roseau for the first time a prominent person going to Roseau and cleaning this little hamlet every day, like you do in Choiseul, like you do in Labrie, like you do in Castries, like you do in Anseray, like you do in Canneries. Underdevelopment, Mr. Speaker. If you look at the number of little shops, economic development that has gone in just Roseville, it will speak for itself. Mr. Speaker, I have to run a little bit. If you look at Mondo, the amount of drainage, the amount of footpaths we have done in excess of 3,000 feet of drainage, and in the constituency, over 2,000 footpaths in terms of feet of footpaths. We have developed a health center in Varna. We have done community work in terms of helping people with in need of better housing. We are developing a multi-purpose park in Mondor, which we have to debate because some other people want something different. In Durando, we are developing the mother's group. We've given them land and helping them along to develop themselves. In Boaden, Montizo, Jacmel, we have a computer center. We have helped in extending the daycare center in Boaden. We have done many walls, footpaths, drainage. Mr. Speaker, in the Boaden area, you know this is a very steep little area. People there once upon a time, when they had to go to the main road, in many areas in my constituency, they had to walk with two pairs of shoes. One to leave the home, because by the time they reached the main road, it was dirty. They had to use the other one to take the minibus to go to work or wherever they were going. This is something of the past now, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker. This is something of the past. We are converting the laundry in Jacmel into a sports complex, thanks to the HOPE program. When this HOPE program becomes operational again, this will be continued. We have done drainage around the field in Jacmel. Reconstruction of the Jacmel Montizo Road. This is to be done very soon. I'm appealing to the Minister of Communication and Works because they had given us the time of April. So he has to keep to his commitment and explain to the bus drivers why it is not going to be completed in April. But this, I understood that the monies are there, the plans are there, it's all they're waiting for. It is no objection from the type of the committee. Also, Mr. Speaker, we are going to link our communities. We are going to link our communities. We are going to develop a road that will connect Montizo with Mondo. This will open up agricultural land, residential land, and also, Mr. Speaker, it will encourage communication, commerce between Mondo, Millet, and all other areas. I would like to interlink my communities, which I represent. When we look at Tetchime, we have just completed a community center there, state of the art. Also, in Tetchime, we are developing, as we speak, it's been constructed, an agro-tourism center. This was sponsored by the OECS. This, in Tetchime, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, in Tetchime, we are blessed. We are blessed with the Roseville Dam. We have a trail that is second to none on island. When you travel that trail, you can see parrots, ramier, federal snake, the broken stricture, the agouti, and many other birds. Miller Tetchime, Mr. Speaker, is the center for bird watching in St. Lucia. And Mr. Speaker, as you stay there, you see the number of tourists increasing and increasing on a daily basis coming to bird watch. This is a new area in tourism. We are developing the feeder roads to let our farmers transport their bananas and their food crops with no damage. Mr. Speaker, I will have to let you know a little bit about Anslore. Anslore, Mr. Speaker, Anslore, in the history of Anslore, we have never seen such development. I remember in opposition, the people of Anslore said to me, Dr. Mondesi, if you can correct the water problem and solve that water problem that Anslore has for the last 20 or more years, their children getting sick, the doctors not understanding what kind of illness they have, I said to them, I am not God, but give me a chance and I'll push the world. And I'm proud today, with the assistance of my government, that we have developed a water project at a cost of $6.5 million. One $6+ million was given by this government and the rest by the EU. And today, Anslery has a water system second to none. During the drought, Madam Mr. Speaker, during this recent drought, water from people from all areas, from Groseville, far Groseville, came to Anslery for water. We have a treatment plant, state of the art. We have a reservoir, state of the art. Now, Madam Mr. Speaker, the water pressure in this village is so strong that it's bursting pipes within the area. The people in Otabo, Maxwe, has had a problem with water for years. And listen to this, Mr. Speaker. One of the people living in Maxwe, in Otabo, he said to me, he's having water pressure, but he didn't know what the hell is going on. So he usually, if he has to have pressure, he has to put on his pump. So he went and said, somebody's saying, it's my pump. So he goes and puts his head to the pump. The pump is off. The pressure in his life. This is from this project. And I have to thank the European government, and I have to thank the patience of the people that they had a representative that delivered. Also, Mr. Speaker, we have a fishing complex, state of the art, the first of its type in St. Lucia. Although there have been many fishing complexes, this one was the first one that was redesigned. Yes, most modern. At a cost of $16.8 million. $16.8 million built by the Japanese, thanks to the Japanese. Mr. Speaker, we have a daycare center. We are thinking of our youth, as I said before, education. We have finished the renovation of a daycare center in excess of $700,000 to the people of Anslery. Mr. Speaker, we have done so many footpaths through Anslery, drainage through Anslery. Mr. Speaker, never in the history of politics of St. Lucia that no representative has ever had in any one year through Anslery in excess of $21 million going through a village. Never in the history. And I'm proud to stay here today, that Mr. Speaker, and boast about it, Mr. Speaker. And I want you to know, this is not all. We want you to know this is not all. We are hoping to put in a health center, state of the art, a model for the rest of St. Lucia in Anslery at the not too distant future.
Honourable Member, please wrap up. You have 2 more minutes.
Mr. Speaker, I must talk a little bit. How many minutes? 2 minutes. Mr. Speaker, I must talk about canneries. Mr. Speaker, the number of things that we have done in canneries, Mr. Speaker, look at it. Over 40 different projects in canneries alone over the last 2 years. But Mr. Speaker, I want to mention that last night, the opposition was in canneries doing their strategy for today. And I'm hopeful that they learn what a good representative will be and is in the constituency of Anslery Canneries. One of my supporters called me today and said the song that they will be singing to the opposition is "It's Too Late to Turn Back Now." Mr. Speaker, I want to let you know that we have rezoned an area in the Jacmel area, 5 acres, for industry development. We are engaging the French Chamber of Commerce to encourage factories to come to this industrial park in Jacmel. We have started, we have had 2 interactions with the Chamber of Commerce in Martinique. I just got a call yesterday from the Chamber of Commerce. They want to revitalize it, so we are moving. I want to let the people of this constituency of Anslery Canneries know that I would not allow the time to expand on all the progress that we have done. Like Morgie says, the labor boys don't want progress for the constituency of Anslery Canneries. And I have a song and a calypso to that effect. Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the people of Anslery Canneries, my constituency. I want to let them know that they have a representative that thinks of them, like the calypso says, at all times. And I am sure, Mr. Speaker, that my government and my colleagues will tell you, at every time that I find it necessary, I speak of Anslery Canneries. Mr. Speaker, I want my government to be sensitive that I took a constituency that was the poorest on the island, and I need all the help from my government, and so far, so good. I want to thank once again my government, and I want to thank the people of that constituency, and I'm hoping that when I return to them, they will say no turning back. Life goes on with your district rep, Dr. Keith Mondesi. I thank you.